may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. So when people make a commitment, basically of any kind, they usually seal the deal in some way. Typically, they seal the deal with a handshake, still practiced by most people today. In fact, it used to be that before shaking hands, one person would spit into his hand and then shake. Spitting symbolized a kind of washing. The shaking of hands joined two into something bigger than themselves. The deal they had made, which is bigger. Later, the practice of spitting was reduced to just washing the hands followed by the shaking of hands. Eventually became simply a shake. Even today, after contracts are signed, although it's not required, you'll notice most of the time they stand and they shake on it, as the saying goes. They'll reach across the table and shake hands. There's something about joining flesh to flesh that confirms a pledge, a commitment that's been transferred. They are one in some sense. Sealing the deal is a biblical concept. Making covenant in the Old and the New Testament involved two things: initiation and confirmation. It included not only some kind of ceremonial washing or cleansing, but it also involved the laying on of hands, very significantly. In the Old Testament, there was the rite of circumcision, a removal, or a cleansing of the flesh. The covenant was also extended through the laying on of hands by God's representatives, the patriarchs, as one would lay hands on the successors. The sacrifices even became a means of covenant renewal involving washing and the laying on of hands. A person would bring a sacrifice, and wash that sacrifice first, lay hands on the sacrifice. The priest would put his hand on top of the hands of those who had their hands on the animal. Their sin was transferred, and the priest would take their sin and offer this sacrifice, now carrying the sin as an atonement. When we come to the New Testament, the same principles carry forward: a washing and a confirming. This was the practice for 1,500 years by the whole church. Only a few churches emerged after the Reformation that didn't continue confirmation, mostly because they didn't have bishops. They couldn't get bishops. But for 1,500 years, this was commonly understood. We in the Anglican Church continue it, along with other historic churches. It's based on the New Testament passage in Acts 8 that we read earlier. Deacon Philip, if you remember, he baptizes, initiating those coming to Christ, and then follows the laying on of hands. But this situation in Samaria is slightly different from the biblical practice up to that point. Remember, in earlier chapters, in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost, the apostles baptized, and they would have laid hands on the newly baptized, sealing the deal. Thus was the practice. And normally that was where the bishops, the successors to the apostles, they baptized at the cathedral, and they laid hands and sealed the deal. Importantly, though, if the laying on of hands transfers something, because that's what's involved in laying on of hands, it's about transfer. That's why it seals the deal. So what's being transferred? Well, the apostles and their successors, the bishops, they represent not just one local church. They represent the entire one holy Catholic and apostolic church, past and present, and even what will come. That's the role of the apostle, the bishop. Deacon Philip, who baptized, only represented that local church. That's why he could initiate, but he could not seal the deal. It was the whole church brought to the person, and that is brought to the person through the laying on of hands. That person is baptized, becomes a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, no doubt. But with that laying on of hands, those apostles, their successors, the bishops, they're bringing the entire one holy Catholic and apostolic church to stand with that person. What a phenomenal transfer. And furthermore, what the apostle bishop embodies in his office, it's transferred to the one confirmed. Ultimately, what is it that he has? Well, what happened at Pentecost? At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descended on the apostles, and from there to the whole church. Did you notice the reference to the Holy Spirit in the prayer of confirmation that the bishop, every bishop, prays over one being confirmed? Because ultimately, that's what he's giving in fullness to the person. Now, the Holy Spirit comes, it came to the apostles before Pentecost in the upper room. Remember, Jesus breathed on the apostles and he blessed them. The Holy Spirit came upon them in the upper room. But the Holy Spirit came in fullness upon them to carry the witness to the whole world. And something similar happens when a person is confirmed. The Holy Spirit comes to us at holy baptism, but he comes in that ultimate sealing and fullness as the bishop who represents the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church birthed at Pentecost prays for the Holy Spirit to come in his fullness upon them. So through the laying on of the hands of the apostle bishop, the Holy Spirit in his fullness, along with the commitment of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, is transferred at confirmation. A powerful rite. We therefore need the rite of confirmation. It's necessary, as you would anticipate, for the fullness of that person's growth in Christ. Thomas Aquinas once wrote, "Age of body does not determine age of soul." You notice all ages were confirmed today. Confirmation brings the maturity of the whole church to us. It's like we're given spiritual roots that extend deep into the whole church back to the apostles. So in the words of St. Augustine, take care of your body as if you were going to live forever. Take care of your soul as if you were going to die tomorrow. Amen. Let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "It's more blessed to give than to receive."